It's good to see you here, and I'd like to add my welcome to David's to this day when people come from all over the place. A lot of people I've heard who've said they've come and stayed overnight. Before I read the reading that I'm going to speak on, there's a couple of things I just want to flag up. One is six big questions, the book What I Wrote, as Ernie Wise would have said. This is about apologetics. We've got some here today. Only 24 pages, that's my main selling point. I think any book you can read in 24 pages is a good thing. That's why I love Grove books generally. They basically get to the heart of an issue very quickly, and you can have a look at it. Special deal today, they're normally £3.95 each. You can pay £3.95 or £4, depending on whether they've got any change. But if you want five, if you want some to give away, you could have five for 15, so that's £3 each. So special deal if you want them. The idea is that they're for Christians to be able to answer questions about difficulties of faith, but they're also to give to people who are asking difficult questions. So read that and see what you think. It covers all the sort of main basic ones that Peter and I tend to cover. And I'd like Sydney Miller to stand up, please, wherever Sydney is. There you go. Sydney asked me if I would just give a quick plug. February next year, the Uganda mission. Sydney is our new younger leader who's taken over from the Fawcetts. And Sydney's been going out there for a number of years anyway as part of the team. And actually, when you think about it, the Uganda walks are something that happens, you know, just as an offshoot, really, of TFM. But they continue and they reach thousands of people, reach huge numbers in communities. And so if you're interested in February next year going out to Uganda, corner Sydney at some point today. Thank you, Sydney. Okay, our Bible reading is Psalm 84. If you'd like to find that in your Bibles, if you've got one. Should have got you doing that while I was doing the advert, shouldn't I? It's a bit rude to start reading it now while you're all thumbing through. Psalm 84. I'll leave your neighbour to help you with that one, Peter. Okay. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed are those who trust in you. Going to be talking about pilgrimage today. But pilgrimage, I think, at first, and its essence, is a state of the heart or of the will. And in that sense, it's something which is for all of us, a journey with God. At TFM, we speak a lot about people coming to Christ and about conversion. And that's very important, isn't it? I can still remember the date of my conversion, 16th of October, 1982. And I can still remember the occasion and how it happened and all that kind of thing. And of course, it's important, but it's not the end of the process, is it? When we get to that point, we've still got quite a journey to go on. To use an apposite word, thinking about pilgrimage, we are to walk with Christ. and to see where he will take us as we grow and develop in our faith. So I think this is a theme that can enrich all of us, whether we're the sort of people who want to walk very far physically, or whether perhaps we can't even do that anymore. But I'm linking it into pilgrimage because I'm thinking ahead to the walk that I'm going to do through Cornwall starting next Saturday. And also looking back to 2005, when in my sabbatical, I took about a month to walk the Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage route in Spain. That's the photo on the left, is one of the markers on the path. Why did I do that? Well, because in my life, a lot of people, when they have a sabbatical, they do some study. But I've done a lot of study in my life. And I thought, to be honest, what I feel I could do with is spiritual refreshment rather than more words and books and everything else. And the experience, I would say, was it was the most profound experience of coming out of everyday life into something different. What I mean by that was that there was a real simplicity to it. Each day you would get up early, very early, and walk. And when you thought about your day ahead of you, what did you need? Really, you needed time on your own to pray as you were walking. And then when you got to the place you were going to, because you can't book in, you just have to go, you wanted two things, really. You needed food and shelter. So I have very little Spanish, but I learned the phrase habla cama, do you have a bed? A very important phrase. I learned some others, like where is the shop? things like that. But it becomes very simple. And then when you get to that place, one of the other things you need is companions. You think, well, actually, it's been great being on my own, but I don't really want to go and eat dinner by myself. So it's great to have people to go and eat a meal with and so on. And you need sleep then, and strength and good health to continue on each day. But the thing that struck me about it was that that's all life is reduced to, something very simple. And you've not got all the distractions of everything that needs doing at home and all the things you need to think about. And it really was an opportunity to be taken out of everyday life and to be refreshed. Having all those waymarkers really helped as well, because you didn't have to do a lot of navigating. So you could spend your time praying very easily. I kind of resurrected this theme last year when we did Walk West Dorset. I spent 4 days down there doing a prayer walk around the area in Dorset, a bit of the Ridgeway, and then the Southwest Coastal Path. And the idea was to pray, but also to look and to listen as I was going through the place, to see what was there and so on. And one of the things that struck me when I was on the Ridgeway was, as you walk along, you suddenly think, well, where are all the towns? Well, frankly, where are all the villages? You suddenly became how scattered the communities were inland in Dorset. And those of you who went there to do mission in the inland bits will remember that. That's how it was, incredibly scattered. And so for Walk Cornwall 2, I thought, why don't I do a prayer walk there? It won't take me a month. It's only 9 days, about 125 miles. And I'm doing it much earlier in the process this time. The Dorset one I did fairly close to the time that we were going, really simply to pray. And obviously that's one of the aims again this time. But I'm also trying to do something else, which is to raise the profile of the walk. We won't go to visit the ministers until the autumn. But I'm hoping that by going now, I've got a number of prayer events set up, got a number of opportunities to distribute prayer cards and to talk to people and so on. I'm hoping that by the time we get to the autumn and go and see individual ministers, actually it will already be on the agenda. And hopefully we'll see some enthusiasm, some anticipation for it. Notice too, one of the things that I will do when I'm in Cornwall is I'll use two different phrases. I could be doing a prayer walk, if I'm talking to evangelicals, who are into prayer walking and Kendrick and all that kind of stuff. Or I could be doing a prayer pilgrimage, if I'm talking to high church, because there's a lot of high church in Cornwall. And it's just an example of how sometimes when we're doing mission, we need to adapt, don't we, to the places we're going and speak their language and see if that will help them to get involved. And I think actually part of my thinking about doing this, I've called it a prayer pilgrimage with the task force. Part of my reason is for them to actually think, we thought TFM would be X or Y, but actually maybe they're not. Maybe they're more like us than we thought. And sometimes we need to think on that kind of level as well. To walk and pray, let's think about pilgrimage a little bit more. I actually find it personally very helpful to pray outside or to be on the move. It may be because I'm just not very good at sitting still, frankly, but there we go. The right-hand photo here is a typical path on the Santiago route. Wide, easy to follow, and surprisingly devoid of people. I say surprisingly because if you do the pilgrimage route in Spain, when you get to the places you're staying, there'll be 100 or more people staying there very often. And you think, well, I wonder where all these have come from. You do see people as you walk along, but it's not crowded. It's not like being in a crocodile of people as you go along mercifully. The one on the left is from Golden Cap in Dorset on the coastal path. I think the highest point actually on the south coast of England. Again, one of the things I found, certainly on that stretch, and I'm hoping this will be true in some of the bits I'm doing in Cornwall, is the route finding will be easy because you just need to keep the water on the same side all the time. So you can actually concentrate then on praying. It's not actually quite that simple in Dorset because there's so many bits of the coast have fallen apart that you get diverted inland all the time. But one of the things I certainly have found is that walking for several days develops that rhythm of life that is different to being in normal life. I think to some extent when I did the Dorset one, because it was only 4 days, I wasn't quite sure that I got into it as easily as I did when I did a whole month. But this one's 9 days, and I'm hoping that it'll be more of an opportunity to really pray. As the psalm said here, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Does that describe you? Because sometimes the sheer busyness of human life, of regular daily life, can cut into that, can't it? Can make it hard to really concentrate, to really find that intimacy with God. And I think sometimes we do need to get away. We need to go on retreat, as people sometimes do, because that's the time when we then actually move forwards. Lessons from creation. When you're praying on the move, it pays to keep your eyes open. It's also another tip if you're praying when driving. It's a different dynamic to praying in a room or sitting in a quiet place. As a lot of the older divines used to say, going into the closet, into that private room, and simply getting really, really quiet with God. I think when you're out and about, you spot things, you see things that inspire you. And particularly I'm struck by the fact that nowadays so often we're disconnected from creation around us and we don't always see what's there. I wonder, when was the last time, maybe for you this is not the case, but when was the last time you were inspired by something you saw in creation? I think it's important for us to get back in touch with that. The pictures I put there, the first one, it's happened in a couple of places, there were nests for birds inside the places that the pilgrims stayed. And the people who ran those hostels were very careful to leave a door or a window open so that the birds could get in and out. And I thought there was something simple but lovely about that, to actually say, well, these are God's creatures too. And then the other one with the stunning flowers. This is in a really quite a dry area, quite a difficult area for things to grow in some ways. And yet this profusion of flowers, as Jesus said, didn't he? Not even Solomon in all his splendor was arrayed like these. And it's just to see that and to think, wow, you know, there's a reminder of God in our midst. When I'm in Cornwall, there'll be another factor too, not just observing creation. It's an opportunity to observe churches and ministers and communities, to kind of get a feel for what's there. One of the things I'll be looking at is, what was the impact of 1993 when we went to Cornwall before? We picked up some positives, but it'll be looking at, well, where's the real residue of that in different places? Because if that's there, in a lot of places, then that should be something that will really encourage us. Or have people become much older as congregations and tired and so on? It'd be important to kind of see that as well, won't it? And then, of course, there's the people who turn out to meetings, the hosts. What are their hopes and their dreams and their struggles? Psalm 84, again, it says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. That area was a hot, dry place, a bit like the Meseta in the Santiago pilgrimage, where that right-hand photo comes from. Hard going. And actually, when you do a physical pilgrimage, that is part of it. It's not something to be ducked. Some of it is hard work. I don't normally suffer with blisters when I'm walking, but when you walk 500 miles, I'm afraid nobody, I think, is immune to getting them, no matter what you do looking after your feet. This one is only 125 miles, so it's not too bad, really. But it's about saying, actually, Christian life involves embracing struggles as well, doesn't it, at times? And we can't always get round those. We can't just sort of pretend that they're not there. The psalm has something to say about fellowship. I've got three things here as pictures. The central photo is a guy called Robert from France and another guy called Luis from Portugal, who I walked with, or I should say kind of ended up in the same place in the evening with several times over probably about a week. What tends to happen on the pilgrimage walk is I tried to walk alone most of the time, but then sometimes you'd sort of meet up with people towards the end of the day, and then you had somebody to go for a meal with in the evening, which was really great. And in fact, still exchange Christmas cards with Luis. He's a believing Roman Catholic. I met plenty of Roman Catholics on the walk who were lapsed, but he had a clear faith. Robert, I'm not quite sure where he was at. He was a French policeman or retired policeman. And then as you walk along, you find people are walking at a different pace. So over the course of a month, you kind of meet different groups. In Cornwall, some of the task force members are going to come and walk with me on different days. David Worley and Maureen are coming down and will be out and about on some days. They're here today. Some of the task force members, there's a lovely lady called May Carson. She's, I think, 80-plus. Methodist lady who lives in Senon. For those of you who don't know Cornwall, that's near to Land's End. And she's going to meet me at Land's End, walk to Senon. She said, depends what time of day it is, I'll give you a drink or a meal, and then you can carry on. But I think, fantastic. She's such a lively person. She went back from a task force meeting, and she said to me, I met a man on the train who was a blind man with a guide dog. And she was sort of helping him off the train and so on. And he said, oh, it's really good. He said, so many people don't, you know, just don't bother. And then as she was talking to him on the platform, she said, I felt God say to me, ask him. So she said, do you know the Lord Jesus? And she said she actually led him to Christ on the platform. She's a great person to have on the task force, I tell you. But there's several others who are going to be coming out and several other TFM people like the Margerisons hoping to join me. And then I've got events. That's what the thing on the right is. And actually, those events are growing. Last night, I had an email in. I'm now preaching on the first Sunday evening at a place called St. Earth, or if you're from Cornwall, apparently it's St. Earth. Howard, you'll be hearing from Howard later, so you'll pick up something of the Cornish accent. I need an interpreter in some places, I'm sure. I put a picture of Gwinnett Pitt on there as well in 1993. That was where the first walk had a big finale. But of course, Gwinnett Pitt has a huge history going back to Wesley and so on. It'll be great just to go there and to touch base with that and be inspired with those who've evangelized this place before us. There's Methodists are actually having their ordinations there on the 1st of July, which I think is a fantastic setting, isn't it, to be ordained in Gwinnett Pitt. I hope to keep people updated as I go on the walk. We've got a TFM Facebook page, and I'll put some things on there, and hopefully the guys in the office will transfer that onto the ordinary TFM page. Psalm 84, the verse that's on the screen, contains a profound truth, I think. Our pilgrimage might be solo, but we need the body of Christ. They not only encourage us, but they shape us by the way we interact with them, including the people who annoy us, if you like, the people who are different to us or whatever. As Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. And that's such a profound element, isn't it, of our pilgrimage, is the way that we're shaped by the people around us in the body of Christ. Trust in God. As I said on the Santiago pilgrimage, you can't book hostels. You have to turn up and ask if there's anywhere to stay. And a couple of unusual photos of provision here. The one on the left is actually a bodega, a place where they make wine, and they have a wine fountain. And pilgrims, it says, help yourself. I'd hate to be an alcoholic in that town. That'd be extremely dangerous, wouldn't it? And then the other one was some people would leave out things for you and just say, if you're a pilgrim, it says, this is for you, and just help yourself. It's just lovely, isn't it, the way that God provides. Cornwall, obviously, going to be a bit different in that I have got places to stay. Well, I say that, I've mostly got places to stay. I've still got one I'm trying to pin down, and three have only been finalized this week. But the main reason for organizing those is obviously to get the meetings, is to actually have opportunities to meet people and do things. But TFM itself, of course, is an adventure of faith. And wanted to say something just briefly in this session about our finances. As David said, you've got information on those that you can read. But just to put before you really our keenest supporters, people who've come today, our finances are not in great shape. I mean, they never really are, but they are in the sense that God has always provided and has continued to. We've paid our wages and that this week. But I have to say, despite David Baslington and others in the office persistently driving down costs, I would say that giving is dropping, whether that's because of the economic situation or whatever. And we do find that things are getting tighter. So simply need to say that to you and to ask you to pray. And also, we're going to have a morning of prayer on the Saturday, the 14th of July, from 9 to 12. You can do that wherever you live, and invite other TFM folk you know to join you. But to pray for God's provision for this work, because as you'll see through the day, we have loads of stuff coming in. There's no shortage of work, but we need the finance to back that and to continue to give us the opportunities to take up all of those different things that we have before us. So 9 to 12, we will have a gathering near here. Actually, I think it's, is that fixed up? Is it in your, not fixed up. So we'll tell you where that will be. You, as I say, if you're further away and you want to pray where you live, then please do that. Finally. You can't really see the red dots very easily on there, but that's roughly the route that I'll be walking through Cornwall. When I walked to Santiago, this is outside the doors of the cathedral, I have to say that arriving was a bit of an anticlimax in some ways. I enjoyed the journey more than the getting there. Don't get me wrong, I was pleased to arrive. Having done 500 miles, it is nice to actually make it. Cornwall, I'm sure I'll be glad to reach the Tamar as well. But I think one of the things about the walk in Cornwall is that it isn't, it, I've put on here, is it an arrival or a stage in the journey? It is very much part of the preparation for Walk Cornwall, which will unfold through the coming year. It'll be a first contact. As I said earlier, I hope it will be an opportunity to meet some ministers who look at this and really get the bit between their teeth and say, I can't wait to hear more about this. And then hopefully for them to spread that message amongst their colleagues. Because as you're probably aware, one of the difficulties with walks is getting across to people that this is actually the invitation for this walk. It's not us who've decided to do it. It's come from the bishop and it's come from the Methodist district chairman in that area. We want them to realize this is a local initiative. So the more locals you can get talking about it, the better. In terms of our pilgrimage, of course, our walk with Christ, There's no anticlimax, is there? We know that the destination will be better than the journey. The verse in the passage, I guess, that in a way picks that up, is better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Although even that doesn't really do justice to it, because we know that the destination is eternity with Christ. I think sometimes hard for us to get our head round what that actually means, or to picture it, or whatever. The Bible gives us little snippets and so on. But in terms of our pilgrimage, that's where we are headed. And that will be even better. If you've enjoyed this bit with Christ, it'll be even better by far than that. So something to hold on to as our hope. Thank you.